Chapter 8. Mujahideen ibn Arabi, Visionary Interpreter of Divine Names, 1235 CE. A mystic philosopher, Muhammad Mujahideen ibn Arabi, was also a bold interpreter of the Quran. He is renowned among those Muslim travelers on the mystical path known as Sufis. He inspired a new, deeply metaphorical approach to the Quran. He is known as Mujahideen, the reviver of religion, because he sought to revive and transform Islamic spirituality. Many regard him as al-Sheikh al-Akbar, the greatest master, in the long and illustrious line of Sufi masters, those seekers of truth who also guide others on the journey towards the unseen. Ibn Arabi was born in Seville in 1165, when southern Spain was still under Muslim rule and at the axis of major religious, cultural, and scientific exchanges. He traveled far from his European birthplace. After visiting many sites in North Africa and the Fertile Crescent, he settled down in Damascus, where he died in 1240 CE. He was not only a peripatetic, but also a visionary with a prolific pen. He wrote more than 300 books, some quite short, but others, including his magnum opus, The Meccan Openings, were enormous. Ibn Arabi's works are at once compelling and inaccessible. He esteemed experience over knowledge. Clearly, he expected his readership to have already internalized the Quran to such an extent that there would be no need for him to offer extended citations. He shared with others his own engagement with the One, partially, elliptically. By its very nature, such engagement can never be fully taught or adequately learned. It must be a private secret, shared only with the Prophet and with the Almighty, the Supreme Wisdom. But the channel for wisdom is the Quran. It is the sole source for guidance. It is also the ultimate challenge. Everything comes from the Quran and its treasures, declared the greatest master, Ibn Arabi. But then he added, plunge into the ocean of the Quran if you can breathe deeply. Otherwise, content yourself with the study of commentaries on its apparent meaning. Ibn Arabi was a deep sea diver in the ocean of the Quran. One of his most enduring works was Fusus al-Hikam, or Bezels of Wisdom. Like bezels or cloves, each of the chapters must be peeled back, examined in the minutiae of Ibn Arabi's technical vocabulary and intricate style, in order to get at its kernel. When one makes this effort, one discovers the hidden key to prophecy, to the Quran, and to Islam. It comes through meditation on the figure of individual prophets, from the first man, Adam, who was also the first prophet, up to the perfect man and the final prophet, the Prophet Muhammad. There are three steps to take on the path to truth. The first indispensable step is sincerity. Every seeker must be pure in motive. A disposition of sincerity is the sine qua non of the quest for truth. Experts in every field, observed Ibn Arabi, set down technical terms unknown to others unless learned from them. Every group has a science. Logicians, grammarians, arithmeticians, astronomers, theologians, philosophers. Each use technical terminology not familiar to the uninitiated. The exception is Sufism. Here, the sincere seeker must enter among mystics, having no news of their technical terms. Then, explains Ibn Arabi, God opens up the eye of his understanding. He takes from his Lord at the beginning of his tasting, even though he had no news of the terminology they were using. Little by little, this sincere seeker understands everything they are talking about, as if he himself had established their technical terms. He finds it a self-evident knowledge, one that wells up from inside him and is part of his deepest identity. Sincerity leads to the second step, insight, as the Quran avows. Say, this is my way, invite men and women to God with clear insight. Chapter 12, verse 108. Yet the invitation does not produce the same insight in each seeker. Just as sincerity is marked by degrees, not all are equally sincere, so all seekers do not have the same potential for knowledge or insight. Ibn Arabi explains the stages of insight with reference to one of his favorite Quranic passages. And we have given you 7 verses for repetition and the great recitation. Chapter 15, verse 87. The Meccan openings are an extended commentary on this verse. They were revealed to Ibn Arabi when he was on the pilgrimage to Mecca. Just as myriad insights derived from this single Quranic verse, so its truth was conveyed to Ibn Arabi in a single moment, through the apparition of a youth. The youth vanished before Ibn Arabi could meet him, but as he left, he told Ibn Arabi, "I am the recitation, that is, the Quran, and the 7 verses for repetition." In other words, the youth claimed to be a divine emissary. "I am the sum total of the Quranic revelation, characterized by 7 repeated or doubled verses." Like an earlier dream where Ibn Arabi saw himself united with the stars and with the letters of the Arabic alphabet, the youth personified for the mystic seer the sum total of meaning. He was the mediator of the 7 doubled, whether they be the actual verses of the Quran, or 7 of the divine names, or 7 mystical states induced by those verses and names. The 7 verses to which the Quran itself is referring are likely to be the 7 verses of the opening chapter of the Quran. 1. In the name of God, full of compassion, ever compassionate. 2. Praise to the Lord of all creation. 3. Full of compassion, ever compassionate. 4. Master of the day of determination. 5. You alone do we worship, from you alone do we seek alleviation. 6. Guide us to the path of true direction. 7. The path of those whom you favor, not of those who cause you anger, nor of those who took to the path of deviation. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Ibn Arabi implies a parallel between the Meccan openings given to him by the youth and the opening chapter given by Gabriel to the Prophet Muhammad. Its 3 directives encode 3 stages or levels of sincerity. They are graded from lower to higher. The first, or lowest, is the sincerity of the masses. It requires sincerity in one's deeds and words. You alone do we worship. For the second, or higher group, who are the elite, sincerity in deeds and words produces insight into the meaning of servitude and dependence. From you alone do we seek alleviation. Beyond the masses and the elite, there is yet another group. They are the elite of the elite, not because of their social standing or their pious observance, but because of their patience. The elite of the elite are sincere, like the masses, and insightful, like the elite, but they also persist and persist and persist. They embody patience, according to the Quranic dictum, "Persist with truth, persist with patience." Chapter 103, verse 3. Patience is the third step. It derives from sincerity and insight, yet offers its own special reward. For the elite of the elite, the outcome of sincerity, insight, and patience is awareness of spiritual states. The patient seeker becomes receptive to the full experience of the divine, and so to the meaning of technical terms reserved for those who cry out, "Guide us on the straight path." Sincerity, insight, and patience take one to the threshold of Ibn Arabi's approach to Quranic truth. It discloses the notion of parallelism that pervades his approach to the Quran. Whatever seems to be a mere pairing or doubling, such as the 2 names of God, full of compassion, ever compassionate, or the 2 groups with whom God is angry or who have gone astray, such pairings are much more than a mere juxtaposition of similar words or themes. For every sign there is an outward and an inward, a limit and a potential, according to a tradition of the Prophet Muhammad. If the visible world is filled with signs, they remain mere signs, possible beacons of light, but still dim or dark, until human creatures recognize their creatureliness as a potential to reflect the attribute of God as Creator. Another tradition ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad echoes the familiar biblical phrase, God created man in his own image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. In his own image means, for Ibn Arabi and many other mystics, the possibility of humans reflecting divine traits, but always within limits. Divine traits are not equivalent to the divine essence, which remains unattainable and hidden. But divine traits have been disclosed to humankind through the names of God, His beautiful names, and the names are portals to the divine potential in each of us. For Ibn Arabi, the beautiful names of God were more than epithets to be recited in prayer or to be invoked at times of distress. They were the outward signs of the inward mystery of the universe, the pairing of all created with all potential forms of existence. Muhammad was the exemplar of this pairing. He was the servant, mirroring the Lord so fully that he was the perfect man. He was a human torch reflecting the divine light. He offered, in the defining moments of his life, clues for all to understand. From the initial revelation, to the flight to Medina, to the farewell pilgrimage, the life of Muhammad provided signs for believers to ponder, grasp, and apply to their own lives. But the foremost sign for the advanced seeker, the elite of the elite, is the night journey, the single night when Muhammad went from Mecca to Jerusalem, to the highest heaven, and back to Jerusalem, and then to Mecca. The night journey for Ibn Arabi represents the inner spiritual journey that each seeker must pursue and experience for himself. It is a journey to God, into God, and then from God. And so, when the seeker sincerely yearns to gain clear insight into the form of God hidden within his own human form, God makes him journey through his names, explains Ibn Arabi, in order to cause him to see his signs within him. Thus, the servant comes to know that he is what is designated by every divine name, whether or not that name is one of those described as beautiful. One of Ibn Arabi's most difficult yet most pivotal insights is that the divine names are themselves vehicles to understanding the divine within us. They are labeled in the Quran as His beautiful names. For God's are the most beautiful names, so call Him by them. Chapter 7, verse 180. Yet, not all the divine names are beautiful, at least by human standards. Some of the divine names are majestic or severe. God as the Punisher, as the Avenger, as the Exactor, as the One who commands death. Ibn Arabi does not flinch from seeing the full spectrum of divine names as the treasure given to the servant, with the human acknowledging God and submitting to Him. They are an invitation to return to one's origins, to know one's true self. For Ibn Arabi, remembering the divine names is a collective homage to the Lord of all worlds. Ibn Arabi interprets the Quranic verse to mean, "To God belong the most beautiful names, and even though the essence of God is unknowable and invisible, the observable world, the planets and stars, the earth and all of nature, can manifest those same names. It can partake of the divine names as physical and tactile, visible and sentient. However, the unseen only unfolds its mysteries. It only becomes manifest to human beings when individuals, recognizing the names as the most beautiful names, make those nominal traits their own actual traits. This requires more than book knowledge or good behavior. It comes through patience, persistent patience on the path. Patience yields experience of the divine depth, an experience that shatters and transforms those humans, the best of humans, who strive to appropriate God's names as their own. How many names are there? God has innumerable names, perhaps as many as 300. There are 300 saints, according to Ibn Arabi, and each of them corresponds to one of the 300 divine traits. Yet even for the saints, it is not the names in themselves that are important, but rather the parallel between the holy person who invokes a name and the subsequent experience of living that name without residual attachment to one's own needs or desires. Only the deeply sincere, those who have achieved insight and persisted with patience, become known as saints. While saints, like others, make the spiritual journey from mundane, ordinary existence, they journey within God as the Prophet Muhammad did. To journey within God means, of course, that it is God who incites the seeker as well as guides him to the highest destiny. Thus, when God makes the spiritual seeker, or saint, travel through his most beautiful names to the other names and ultimately to all the divine names, explains Ibn Arabi, he comes to know the transformation of his states and the states of the whole world. And when he has completed his share of the journey through the names and has come to know the signs that the names of God gave him during that journey, he retraces his steps. On his return, he continues to pass through the different sorts of worlds, taking from each world that aspect of himself which he had left there and reintegrating it in his self, until he arrives back on earth. Ibn Arabi was granted his own parallel to the night journey and ascent of the Prophet Muhammad. His nocturnal vision also took him to the lote tree of the limit, chapter 53, verse 14, where he saw, among other things, the four rivers. They too exemplify the correspondence of visible to invisible, of this world to the next, which runs through all divine revelation. According to a tradition, the Prophet Muhammad saw four rivers flowing forth from its roots. Two were outer, natural rivers, and two others were inner, spiritual rivers. Gabriel had pointed out to the Prophet that the two inner ones are in the Garden of Paradise, while the two outer ones are the Nile and the Euphrates. But Ibn Arabi is told that on the Day of Judgment, the two outer ones will also become rivers of Paradise, making four rivers of milk, honey, water, and wine promised to believers in the Quran. The four rivers also correspond to the scriptures revealed to humankind. Together, the four rivers constitute one great river, which is the meta-text. The first and largest is the Quran, which is also the inner reality of Muhammad. The three other rivers or tributaries that flow from the great river, then return back to it, are the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospel. All of them are markers or paths for human guidance, and all paths at the deepest level are straight. All require sincerity, produce insight, and reward patience. All lead back to God. Ibn Arabi attained a visionary experience with levels of insight that few believers, even the most dedicated seekers, could grasp. He was a genius and remains for many the seal of spiritual wisdom in Islam, the greatest master, whose practice was derived from the Quran and nourished through engagement with its multiple meanings.